Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, September 22, 2022. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how are you? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Day 611 of the Biden-Harris administration. 46 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go. And our Patreon, of course, is BobSeskaShow.com. Oh, my God. Trump had a very bad day yesterday. And the goth ninjas are here for it. It is Spicy Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/from the bunker. Also, David Ferguson, T-Rex from Astral Summer, hey. astralsummer.bandcamp.com. David's got a brand new microphone, so it's a brand new microphone.
Oh my God, oh my God, I have news.
What?
The freaking video got nominated for a Cannes.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding.
So we have, like, in 3 days, on the 25th, they will announce whether we won anything or not. But, yeah, we are in the running.
Woohoo!
For the monthly winners. I fucking can't believe it. But then again, I've got to send you a link to the video so we can put it up so people can see it. Because Ellie did such a good job. It's just adorable and irresistible.
Great. Yeah. Send me the link. I'll put it in the description of this episode. I mean, if we can, if we're allowed, unless that's going to screw up your chances of the video winning.
Yeah, got to make sure it's okay.
No, it's allowed. I meant to, okay. I asked Ellie, and she was like, yeah, it's been out there on YouTube for a year.
We could have done this last week. We could have linked to it last week then. All right. Well, better late than never. We'll get it out today in the description. So,
no, but I woke up this morning and looked at my phone, and there's this thing that she's forwarded to me from Cannes Film Festival that's like, you are nominated. And I was like, okay. Squeeze the eyes shut again and look.
Yeah. And by the way, are we settled on the pronunciation of the place and the film festival? Is it Cannes or Cannes? I always thought it was
Cannes.
It's Cannes.
Yeah.
I learned France. Mm-hmm. I learned French back in the day.
Yeah.
And I could speak it very well. No, it's Cannes.
So it's Cannes as in Wrath of.
But it's C-A-N-N-E-S, but it's con.
Here's the official,
Cannes.
Oh, who said, wait.
Cannes, trust me, nobody would ever say that in France.
Okay, where did you get that? Where did that come from?
I Googled Cannes pronunciation.
Cannes.
It's a weird word. It's like south of France. The accent's a little different. It's, I swear to you, it's Cannes.
I always thought it was this.
I shall leave you as you left me. left her. Marooned for all eternity.
Montalban's pronunciation.
Buried alive.
Here it is. Here we go.
No, it's not great. Nobody yells con.
They only do if they lose.
Cool.
Yeah, they're far too cool. It's con.
We were waiting for the announcement yesterday, and I was like, they're just being lazy. They're lingering over their espressos and their champagnes and their stinky cigarettes. They're
their
talking
lattes.
In subtitles. You know, I can't stand this heat. Pierre, we must decide.
T-Rex can wait. He can wait. The American can wait.
I don't know what that accent was, but it was close. I guess close enough.
It was the chef from Zut alors. I missed one from Liget.
It was almost Chekhov from Star Trek. I guess that's what I was kind of doing there. I have no idea. Hey, guess what? Trump's getting sued again.
Who's suing Trump? Who's suing Trump?
That'll be Letitia James, the Attorney General of the great state of New York. Yes. Yesterday
she was like Sojourner Truth yesterday. I mean, she was like a pillar of righteousness. You know, that press conference was a throwdown.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I am just such a Tish James fanboy now. It just like,
yes.
Do you think she had Fonnie Willis on speaker just to go, see what I'm doing, lady?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're next because you have him on tape.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And then while everything was going on, while I was watching the live press conference with Letitia James, this is an actual tape of me. Just laughing. Every new
revelation. I thought it was going to be the turtle humping a croc sound.
Oh, no. I'm not going to do that to everyone. No, I was laughing uncontrollably. Giant stogie in my mouth. Like a... Yes.
Okay, then I quit as your son.
Yeah, I couldn't get enough. I was sucking it down like Coca-Cola. Let's start by just talking about some of the main bullet points of what's happening to Donald Trump in this lawsuit related to his overinflation of his assets, lying on official documents, putting his signature on documents with valuations that were far inflated beyond any sort of accurate numbers. They're suing Donald Trump for $250 million, but not just Donald Trump. They're suing Don Jr. They're suing, as I called him on John Fugelsang's show last night, they're suing Eric Jr. They're suing... I was just so excited.
My name's Eric. Have you seen my Cheerios? Yeah.
I was so excited to go through all of this news. I was like, oh my God, they're suing Donald Trump. They're suing the Trump Organization. They're suing Don Jr. They're suing Eric Jr. They're suing Ivanka Jr.
Ivanka Jr.
And fucking Bill Barr is like, I feel it's a step too far to go bring the children in. And like, dude,
children, they're grown, in their fucking 40s. Okay?
Yeah.
They're like 40, whatever. And
they
yeah.
ran the company while he was president. And by the way, I just want to know the text between, as it has been said, between Barron and Tiffany going, thank God he didn't love us.
Bill Barr on Fox News yesterday was hilarious. Just making excuses because he imagines Trump's children as being like 9 years old.
They're not.
Well, if you think about Don Jr., he's so small. I mean, small, S-M-O-L. Like small Paul is what I nicknamed.
Well, and then Fox News going, don't go after his children. And then Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, come on.
Right. So they're all involved in this. And my favorite part in terms of the main bullet points of this lawsuit is not the $250 million. My favorite part is if successful, this lawsuit will ban the Trumps from ever running a business in New York forever. Forever.
And she said something else that I found interesting, that they will no longer be able to borrow from banks that have business in New York, which is every fucking bank on the planet.
I know. Obviously, the lawsuit has to be successful for all of this to go through. But we're talking about now 3 years doing the diligence, doing the work, collecting the evidence. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this all started with Michael Cohen's testimony. But in fact,
Thank you, AOC.
Yeah. But prior to that. In fact, David Korn mentioned this yesterday. He said that this comes down to Stormy Daniels.
Yes, it does.
Had it not been for Stormy Daniels, this entire lawsuit from Letitia James in New York may not be a thing, including the criminal case against the Trump Organization in Manhattan, brought by the Manhattan DA, who's now Alvin Bragg.
Who's going, no, we're still investigating, I swear.
Yes, I love that. Hey, guys, wait for me. Well, hey, whoa, hello? I'm still here. Yeah, thanks,
I
Mr.
just
Brad.
Love that it's, you know, it is a massive thorn in Trump's side that it is a black woman.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
You know that, like, because, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, let's talk about that. Because You may have seen his post on Troth Central.
Truth Central.
He posted a couple of times on Troth Central yesterday. He posted a couple of troths, as they call them, and said
Is that what they call them?
I don't know. That's what I call them. Because it's Troth Central. So those are troths. I think in all honesty, I think what they call tweets on Troth Central are truths.
Oh,
because
please.
It's technically truth. Is it? Truth Social? Yeah. So Trump posted a couple of them yesterday. And in the first one, he said he referred to Letitia James as New York Attorney General Letitia Peekaboo James. So
yeah,
everyone was going like, what is
thing, right?
Yeah, everyone was asking a question like, what does peekaboo mean? Where does that come from? Where did he come up with that nickname? I did a Google search. A bunch of people were doing Google searches trying to figure out the origins of that.
I mean, he is 7 years old, so it may be the most complicated strategy game he knows.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, here's who came up with a solution. I think Hal Sparks nailed it yesterday. Hal Sparks came up with the interpretation that, oh, this is a racist trope that he's referencing here. This is a dog whistle. What he means is you take out the peak and replace it with the jig, and there's the word that he was trying to suggest.
Oh, okay.
So that is what peekaboo probably means
so
in that context. So Donald Trump went all in on the racism right out of the gate with Letitia James, who's got his balls in a vice grip right now. And
squeezing lady.
That's the thing, is that with these prosecutors love these kind of cases because it's all on paper.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Trump thus far has managed to elide accountability again and again and again by having lots of proxies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know,
he's
and
got a lot of buffers.
You know,
buffers.
Buffers,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
the word. But like, this is a thing where it's got his signature and it's all on paper and you can't back out of it. You know, as much as he may try.
Right.
And that's why he's so volcanically just like trying to go at it with just pure rage and thunder.
Oh, yeah. You yeah. know? Well, that's the interpretation, I think, of peekaboo. Not just that Donald Trump is a racist, vulgar horror show of a human being, but also that this indicates how frightened he is. He is so afraid of what's going on right now in Albany with Letitia James that he's just going all in, going full racist with this. I mean, that word is arguably the worst word you could use to refer to black women as. It's like the N-word, but specifically for black women.
Yes.
It is horrendous. And he went there because he's terrified. So at the end of the day, this gives us a window into Donald Trump's thinking. And in a little bit, don't worry, we're going to play a couple of the clips from his interview with Sean Hannity last night because they're absolutely absurd. But here's another one of the things that...
he looked so crazy.
Oh, my God.
His
it was
eyes
just...
in the Sean Hannity interview?
Yeah.
And
yes.
his giant, fat ass. I mean, that's an inflated ass ad right there.
Yeah, it looked like the rest of his like the upper part of his body was perched on top of a beanbag chair. That's what
it's so bizarre, and his little teeny tiny feet.
Yeah,
and it's like what the hell? He's like a Clydesdale or something.
But that's one of the weirdest things. That's one of the many weird things that I've noticed about Donald Trump over the years. Every sit down interview that he does, he always has to be positioned on the left side of the screen and facing the interviewer. From his right to left diagonally. So you see mostly the right side of Trump's face.
Yep.
And he's always got his hands down in that dick tent, like he's perched on the crapper.
He's been told that's his good side.
I guess he has. I guess that's it. He's so persnickety. He's so anal about how he's presented on television. And that's one of the many, many weirdo things about Donald Trump. So anyway, so if successful, this...
Good is a strong word, but it is his least hideous side.
That's right. The side that looks least similar to like a wrinkled hot dog
to
casing.
To an old man's scrotum. Yeah.
There's the title of the show, Old Man Scrotum.
There you go. So if successful, this lawsuit would ban Trump and the Trump Organization from buying commercial real estate in New York for 5 years. Letitia James is referring this criminally to the U.S. Department of Justice, specifically SDNY, which, again, just to those of you who don't know, SDNY is under the jurisdiction of the Department of Justice. So that is a federal district, and they are going to, if they haven't already, they are receiving a criminal referral from Attorney General James's office. And on top of that, and this is even better.
You know who worked for the SDNY?
Preet Bharara.
Preet Bharara was a sorry.
And Jeffrey Berman, by the way, who is opening up a whole new can of worms against Donald Trump. That's completely separate. But the other part about this in terms of criminal referrals is, and this is, I think, the best of the two options here. We've got SDNY, and we also have receiving a criminal referral, the Criminal Division of the Internal Revenue Service. So that answers a lot of questions I've had.
About why he hasn't released his taxes.
Yeah, but also where the IRS is in all of this. Because what we're talking about is financial fraud in this specific case. Yeah. Likewise with the Alvin Bragg investigation of the Trump Organization in New York, or prosecution, I should say. That trial begins next month, incidentally. Mm-hmm. So this is all about financial crime. So if he's inflating his assets on loan applications and insurance applications and things like that, it's very likely he's deflating his assets for tax purposes.
That New York Times reporter, Susanna, oh God, what is her name? She's got that Boston accent.
Yeah.
Susanna Craig.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, she's talking about, you know, this is all they, you know, the IRS is very interested in all this. And, you know,
Yeah, and they should be. They should be, because it's very likely Donald Trump lied on his taxes about his assets, making them appear smaller or lesser than in order to get a break on his taxes. So weirdly enough, and not surprisingly, you know, it's not just Trump who makes things worse for Trump. It's his people who also make things worse for him. Liz Harrington is a spokesperson for Donald Trump, and she posted over on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
She posted that these people are deranged, in all caps, she said. President Trump did not inflate his assets. He undervalued them.
Also illegal.
Thank you, Liz Harrington. Thank you for that help. Yes,
good job.
I'm sure the Internal Revenue Service is going to be thrilled to hear about that from Troth Central.
She's like trying to throw him a lifeline, and she threw him an anvil. Like, here you go.
Yes, you stupid,
No, just let them keep
idiot.
Talking. Just let them keep talking, because that's evidence used in a trial.
Yeah, well, that's just the thing. None of what they're saying is a defense. Trump represented that his apartments spanned more. This is the triplex at the top of Trump Tower. Mm-hmm. He exaggerated the square feet. He said 30,000 square feet, which was the basis for valuing the apartment. This would make it more valuable than it actually is. In reality, Letitia James said, the apartment had an area of less than 11,000 square feet, something that Mr. Trump was well aware of. Yes, of course he did. It's the same stunt that he pulled with Trump Tower itself. What's that? Yeah, triplex.
Is that a word that people commonly use? I've never heard it before. I've heard of duplexes.
I have.
To me, it sounds like an 80s club where you go score cocaine with, you know, where we're going to hit palladium and then triplex.
Donald Trump we're talking about.
Does that mean three apartments or one apartment that has three floors?
It's three floors.
Okay,
like a duplex.
That's what I thought.
It's three floors.
All right. Well, so it's not 30,000 feet like Donald Trump is claiming. Also, Donald Trump claims that Trump Tower is tall. This is not part of the lawsuit, but Donald Trump for years has claimed that Trump Tower has more stories than it actually does. He skips a bunch of stories. He just, as Father Guido Sarducci says, he just waved them. He waved those extra floors.
He thought about them.
He thought about them, and they vanished. They disappeared. So it gets better. There are more dings here. More dings.
More dings.
So part of this lawsuit indicates that Donald Trump left some tax documents mixed in with the top secret documents in Mar-a-Lago. So when the FBI went in on August 8th, they found a bunch of tax documents. This has been documented and reported already in official filings by the Department of Justice, by the FBI, indicating that, yeah, there are tax documents in there. Well, Donald Trump told Letitia James under oath that there were no more tax documents, that he turned over everything, that he gave her all of the tax documents that she needed to look at. But there were more that they found on August 8th, because he's a goddamn idiot. I want to read this paragraph from the official lawsuit, because this speaks volumes about the ongoing chicanery, how Donald Trump continues to make things worse for himself, how he continues to commit more crimes within. It's like a nesting doll, like a Russian nesting doll of crime.
It's assholes all the way down.
Yep,
exactly right. It's assholes inside assholes. But even after almost 2 years of litigation, it appears that it may still be the case that not all responsive documents were produced, the filing says. Among other things, in litigation over a search warrant executed at Mar-a-Lago on August 8, 2022, the United States District Court for the Middle District of Florida noted that, quote, the seized materials included correspondence related to taxes and accounting information, Trump v. United States, etc., docket number, blah, blah, blah. Documents concerning taxes and accounting information would appear to be responsive to OAG's subpoenas. That's the Office of the Attorney General. That's Letitia James. But no such documents for Mr. Trump were produced by counsel for Mr. Trump, despite a representation by that counsel that I, quote, diligently searched each and every room of respondents' private residence located at Mar-a-Lago, including all desks, drawers, nightstands, dressers, closets, etc. I was unable to locate any documents responsive to the subpoena that have not already been produced to the OAG by the Trump Organization. There it is. They were hiding tax documents at Mar-a-Lago on top of all the other shit. And then, once again, Trump has his attorney, much like Christina Bob with the FBI in June, Trump has his attorneys lie to official investigators. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what a colossal mess, and I am so here for it. You know, mm-hmm. I was having this conversation, had this conversation a couple times this week, one with Stephanie Miller, another time with John Fugelsang, and that is that, look, at the end of the day, Trump may never see the inside of a federal prison cell. It's entirely possible that that's the case. If he's sentenced, it could be that, as we've talked about on this show, it could be that he ends up in some form of house arrest with the ankle monitor thing attached to his ankle, and his movement is restricted and monitored, etc. And that's only because of Secret Service considerations.
Yeah, I find that bullshit, like I said before.
Maybe.
Fucking
yeah.
just...
deputized.
Corrections officers, you are now a Secret Service, and he's in protective custody in a prison. There are plenty of prisoners that are in protective custody.
Yeah.
That get, you know, they walk, but they're not in Gen Pop. They're cared for like they should be. So you just deputize corrections officers as Secret Service agents. Yep. Done.
Oh, Kit, please put him in Guantanamo. Oh, my God.
No, Leavenworth, baby. Let's put him in Leavenworth. Where's the prison where they have all the terrorists? Like in the middle of the country? It's not Leavenworth. It's somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the Supermax
prisons. Put him
prisons.
There. Yeah, put him in his fucking Supermax. Those are like hardcore.
But I think we should establish our expectations with the possibility that he may not see actual prison time. And I know that's
bullshit and wrong.
It is bullshit. I know it's a bummer to think that way, but I think we have to calibrate our expectations along those lines, just in case. If we're wrong, we're wrong.
I think he's
going
to flee.
Yeah.
I think he's totally going to dip. I think he's going to like go to Russia or like flee to some other country that doesn't have an extradition treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be all just so humiliating, and he can't stand that.
Well, the other thing is, I think in lieu of Donald Trump going to an actual prison cell at the end of one or some of these investigations, I think that we would be better served by just enjoying all of the chaos and awfulness and anguish, and as Lawrence O'Donnell said, the sleep struggle that this unforgivable bully has to go through in this process, the stress, digging a hole deeper for himself, flailing, sinking deeper into this quicksand pit of his own making. That's what I love. That's what I'm enjoying most. Because, yeah, there is this possibility that he may never see the inside of a prison cell. So let's enjoy the ride. You know, it's what is the maxim? It's in the journey, not the destination.
What if accountability was really just the friends we made along the way?
Yeah. I know.
No, I think whatever is going to happen, it's going to be bizarre. It's going to be sordid. And it's going to be, but I don't, you know, like, I, Because he keeps, like, surprising us with the trapdoors that he can open. We really think he's, like, completely gotten the sleaziest, most awful thing that he could possibly do. And then he's like, oh, but wait, there's more.
Oh, no, but wait, there's Justice Kennedy that we are concerned about, because why did he quit when he did?
Yeah.
And then there's, oh, I don't know, all the Republicans that went to Russia? Oh, and then all the dirt he's got on all the Republicans that Russia gave to him. I mean, they're all freaking out.
God.
Russia isn't doing so great right now either.
No, they're not. And,
I don't know if you guys have been following that particularly closely, but, you know, basically Putin was like, I can draft all of you.
Yeah. Oh, and they're all and leaving, like, the country.
Right.
Well, it's the ones that can. I mean, it's not a – but yeah.
Like, number one Google search in Russia the other day was how to break my arm at home.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, God.
Wow. That's extreme, but I guess that's what you have to do if you don't want to be, you know, conscripted to go fight Putin's ridiculous war. Exactly. People I trust on national security and foreign policy aren't panicking yet, so I'm just going to keep an eye on what they say. And once they start to panic, that's when I'll start to panic. But so far, not yet. I'm not there yet. Meantime, Letitia James tweeted this yesterday in an ongoing thread about the case. She said, we found that Trump, his family, and the Trump org used fraudulent and misleading asset valuations over 200 times in 10 years on his annual financial statements. These statements were then used to obtain hundreds of millions of dollars in loans and insurance coverage. What is it that we see every time we sign one of those official documents? Say you apply for a mortgage and you sign the mortgage document, or you sign even the application for the mortgage. Doesn't it say right there that you're attesting that everything in that document is true and accurate under penalty of law? Donald Trump's signature is all over pages and pages of shit like that. 200 times over the course of 10 years. I mean, this fully emphasizes, and of course the red hats will never go along with this, but this once again underscores the reality that everything about Donald Trump is a lie. It's a facade. It is a show. It is bullshit. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
It's just like, it's like his hair. It's like his suits. It's like the buildings that he slaps his name on after someone else builds them. It's Melania Trump stealing Michelle Obama's speeches, repurposing them, and passing them off as her own. Everything about Donald Trump is horseshit from top to bottom. His lifts, the shoes that he wears are bullshit.
Bullshit.
Right.
That's what I've been saying all along, that what on earth, like, could you look at this man and say, what is there anything that gives you the indication this person is on the level?
Right, right.
You know, the teeth are fake. The tan is fake. The hair is fake. The suit is shitty.
Yes.
You know, the lifts, the girdle, the giant inflated asset.
the talking about how he won the 2020 election, fake.
Yep.
You know, his list of alleged successes, fake. He routinely talked about things that Barack Obama did that he claimed credit for.
Yep.
Fake successes. And you could go down a huge list of those things. So it's all bullshit. And this
bullshit.
This is the guy that they have landed on as their messiah, as their hero. This ridiculous, self-satirical cartoon character from New York City who's been lying his way out of one paper bag after another since the goddamn 70s.
You're actually pounding the counter now. I can hear it.
I can hear it, too. Oh,
this is the first time you've heard me pound the counter?
Yes, it is.
I do it every show. I'm always doing that. Yeah. It's just one of those things. I just like to exclamation mark. There it is. Okay, so in just a second, we're going to play a couple of clips from Donald Trump's sit-down with Sean Hannity last night, where he continued to make things worse for himself. Everyone's talking about the one clip where Donald Trump says he can declassify documents just by thinking about it.
It's magic.
And the thing is that
I have Emmys because of that, because I've thought of having an Emmy. And
I know. Don't we all imagine great things for ourselves?
Dude, I have six porn star boyfriends because I thought about it.
I have the number one podcast in the world.
Yes.
Absolutely. The world. Okay, so we're going to play this tape in just a second. Trump's imagining that he can just say, every classified document in America is now declassified. And it's not. I mean, that's not the way it works. And it's not how the system works. And ultimately, it really doesn't matter whether he thought about declassifying them or not. It's a shell game. That whole chunk of that interview last night was a gigantic misdirection.
The 11th Circuit said it's a red herring.
Yeah, exactly.
They literally said that in their judgment.
It's a red herring.
Oh,
yes.
The 11th Circuit was, I was like, I mean, that was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They just like stripped, they took a paint, like, what do they call the heat gun to that argument from Judge Cannon and just like blistered the paint off of it and peeled it away. Like,
today,
this is bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit.
Today, Judge Cannon is about
changed
an inch and a half
shit.
Tall. Yeah, she's teeny tiny Judge Cannon now because she has been cut down to size by the 11th Circuit, including two Trump-appointed justices in the group of three that ruled on this yesterday. So we're going to talk about that.
They're
plus
judges, not justices.
Yeah, judges, not justices, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, brief correction from Tuesday's show. Yes, I'm aware that Donald Trump didn't say that Republicans were suckers. That's why he's a Republican. When Buzz said it, he was on a roll, and I didn't want to interrupt with a fact check right in the middle of his thought and derail the whole thing.
It's just true whether he said it or not.
Okay, meantime, if you're only listening to the free portion of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, you're only hearing the first, like, two acts of it, the first hour. There's an additional 20 minutes of show after the end credits on every Tuesday and Thursday episode, and it's all happening on our Patreon page exclusively so. So when you sign up, and I'm about to describe how, once you sign up, you have to go back to the Patreon page to listen to the Shadow Docket shows, to listen to the bonus materials. Just want to be clear about that. It's either at bobseskashow.com, or if you have the app, you can listen on the app. That's the only way really to listen, unless you're super smart, much smarter than I am, and you can integrate the RSS into your podcast feed on one of your other podcast players. I have no idea how that happens. It frightens and confuses me. So for simplicity's sake.
You're a simple caveman podcaster.
I'm just a caveman. I don't understand your RSS.
We chisel the podcast in on stone. That's how we do it.
That's exactly right. So again, the best way to listen, bobseskashow.com or on the Patreon app. That's it. So what we're talking about here is bonus content like the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/bobseskashow, or as I said, bobseskashow.com. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, all the stuff we didn't get to on the free portion of the show. And it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Dockets drop every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and they're only going to cost you $5 per month. So you go to bobseskashow.com, sign up for the Shadow Docket level. It's also $5 per month. That's the level. And you'll be supporting this fully independent podcast. Don't miss out. Bobseskashow.com. Tell all your friends, and we thank you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Darling, I don't know about you, but I think I want.
Oh yeah, I love this song.
This is so smooth. It's like a vodka gimlet, you know.
Oh yeah, we're gonna play the whole track at the end of the free portion of the show. Of course, this is a brand new single from Luke LeBlanc, one of our favorites here on the show. It's a song called "Slide On Over." It's from his brand new album "Fugue State," as in the thing that happened to Walter White allegedly in Breaking Bad. Fugue State. I don't know if that's what it's a reference to, but I'm just saying, because I'm a nerd. LukeLeBlanc.com. Link in the description, of course, at BobSeska.com. Just find this episode dated 9/22/22. Click on that link, scroll on down, and you can find it. Yeah. Click it.
I'm about to get way nerdy and tell you that a fugue is actually a traditional music form, often involving organ music that begins with a bass part and then followed by a tenor part and an alto part and a soprano part in a repeating cycle. And they call a fugue state like a psychiatric term because it is so chaotic and noisy and
wow.
Yeah, that's nerdy.
I had no idea.
Thank you.
I knew that a fugue was a musical thing. I just had nowhere close to that level of knowledge in terms of what it actually was. So, yeah, again, Luke LeBlanc, slide on over from Fugue State, LukeLeBlanc.com. Also, BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so continuing on here, let's talk about Donald Trump's appearance on Sean Hannity last night, where he's talking about...
his extra super flop sweaty appearance. It was like a hostage video.
Yeah,
his eyes are like literally bulging out of his head. He's so angry and scared.
Yeah, and his voice, by the way, is getting higher and whinier the more trouble he's in.
Yep.
If you notice, like, I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start calling him high-pitched Don. Because he's really, his voice is almost
Donnie Chipmunk.
Suddenly he sounds like an 11-year-old boy who's maybe like a little bit dehydrated. Maybe that's
he's
the best
actually like sucking helium out of a balloon between takes.
Yeah, well, here, let's listen to a little bit of this. This is Sean Hannity. No, this is Donald Trump on Sean Hannity last night.
Because I think this is the next logical question. Because the president of the United States, you, unlike, say, Hillary Clinton in her case,
right.
A president has the power to declassify.
Correct.
Okay. You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yes.
Okay.
What the fuck does Hillary have to do with this?
But that's because they have nothing else. That is their ongoing shibboleth. As soon as they mention Hillary Clinton, all the red hats like click into place. It's almost like it's almost like MK Ultra.
What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it.
No, that's a lie. Okay, that's a big lie. There is a process. There is an absolute process.
Paper trail.
Here's the thing about this. Donald Trump, or any president, while serving as president, has unfettered ability to declassify any document they want to declassify. Doesn't matter what it is, they can say that document is declassified. But that's not the end of it. They have to tell the appropriate agencies. They have to let other people know. They just can't say, I'm imagining Lindsey Graham's FBI file is now declassified. And no one else knows. That's not, no. That's the first part.
The 11th Circuit put the match to that.
Yeah.
They already said it does not matter if he thinks he declassified it or, you know, the contents are still critical national security data.
It does not matter.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant whether they were classified or declassified because they belong to us.
Yeah.
The United States. They do not belong to one specific person, and he stole documents.
That's
because of Watergate.
Right. Yes.
The presidential records thing is law because of Watergate. So therefore,
yes. So it doesn't matter ultimately whether he declassified the documents or not. It's that even if he did, let's say that he did and he actually told a bunch of people that he did.
Yeah.
He still stole the documents. He still stole government property and took them to his country club, where he then proceeded to lie to the government about their existence. And whether
was
he had
warned
turned
a year
over.
Before the FBI showed up that you should not keep these.
Right.
So, by Eric, I say fuck a lot, Hirschman.
That's exactly right. This is the entire thing that gets lost in the shell game. The stupid fucking sucker red hats sit there and watch this, and it's so confusing. It's like the COVID rules. They don't understand who should be masked and why everyone has to mask or why everyone should get vaccinated instead of you do you in pockets of people masking. They don't understand the nuance of what's going on here. And Donald Trump is constantly exploiting that, the inability of his fanboys to see the nuance of what's happening here. And here it is.
You know, there's different people say different things, but as I understand, there doesn't have to.
Different people say different things is his observation. Different people say different things about how documents are. No, there's one thing. There's one way you do this. There is no different people say different things.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending
bing,
it.
Bing, okay, bing, 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 bing. All right. Right there. Instead of us saying bing, 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 I realized.
I see you actually like bending over the little bell, Bob.
You're have one of those.
Yes, I mean, instead of Jody and I saying bing, 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 I'm like, oh yeah, I have a desk bell.
I do have one somewhere too. I could have done it. I don't know where it is, but I have one.
But that's the centerpiece of this clip, what he said right there.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from the bullshit about declassification.
Yeah.
But the centerpiece is that he's admitted to taking government property and sending it to Mar-a-Lago.
Or anywhere.
Anywhere else. So he's opening the door to having Bedminster searched and having Trump Tower searched, his quote-unquote triplex in
Ivana's coffin.
Yeah. So where else? What is he talking about? What other places was he referencing here accidentally? Let's hear this again.
Declassified just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it.
You can feel him like Wile E. Coyote-ing it, like out into the open air off the cliff.
On some level, do you think?
One more time.
Do you think at least his kids were watching that and going, what the fuck? No.
Ivanka was.
Standing behind Sean Hannity doing the chop at the throat gesture, frantically bug-eyed.
I have a clip of Don Jr. watching that clip.
No!
Bashing his television. Dad,
no,
why?
Ivanka was the only one that kind of got that and went, oh, shit.
Oh, no, this is...
Buenos dias?
Ivanka was so mad that this was Ivanka.
No!
Ivanka, when she gets angry, sounds like Patrick Stewart yelling, no.
There doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it...
He's lying about there not being a process. There is a process.
Right.
There is a court-ordered, mandated process for declassifying documents. You just can't go in and get signals intelligence from the NSA and say, in your mind, in your brain, you can't imagineer the document being declassified without telling the NSA.
Somebody was like, I mean, one, I don't know, I don't want to draw, like, connect too many dots here with, like, wheels within wheels, man. But you notice, like, after August 8th, that's kind of when the Ukrainian war started to really tilt to the Ukrainians.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like...
Didn't have the intelligence information anymore.
Exactly.
God only knows what's circulating out there.
Yeah.
That someone else got their hands on, or that Trump handed to them.
Oh, yeah. He sold everything. He made money off of it. There's no way he just gave it away. He made money.
I can't help it if something just slips out of my briefcase. I mean, shit happens. Zibidoo, zibidoo.
And I think he's got something set up that, like, to go off if he gets indicted or
something. Oh, no, you're right. It's Lindsey Graham's going down. Ted Cruz is going down.
I mean, like, something in terms of really harming the whole country.
Oh, no. He will do that.
Dead man switch.
Yeah, dead man switch. Yeah.
He's basically been saying that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But Mary Trump said, should he be indicted, we'll run out of beer.
This is about a dead man's switch, partly. You know what this also is about? This is about collecting compromat for his potential, at least when he was leaving office in January of 2021. This was about looking toward 2024 and maybe having documents on his opponents. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump didn't just willy-nilly declassify just any document. He declassified in his mind specific kinds of documents that would benefit him financially, politically, in terms of his power, in terms of his sway over his opponents, or to keep his friends under constant suspicion. Lots of options.
That whole what they call sistema in Russia, where it's like everybody has a loaded gun pointed at everybody else's head and everybody, it's like
that Spider-Man meme. Yeah, exactly.
Declassified. I declassified everything. Now I declassified
everything. Does he mean everything that
everything?
He has? Everything that he stole, or literally everything? And by the way, what's to have kept Joe Biden from entering office on January 20th, 2021 and saying,
nothing.
Yes, and thinking to himself, everything is reclassified. And then that would
I just can't get. What does that mean? Who think? I mean, just I can't with the toddler logic. Just
I know.
The whole like I can think about it and it's magically declassified. It's like,
I know no, you are, but what am I?
Yes, because he can get away with it because his suckers are already fished in.
Yep.
They're fully pliable. He has softened their already soft skulls into accepting everything that he says as the truth.
Classified things, and we were having a lot of problems with NARA. You know, NARA. Is a radical left group of people.
Run-
yeah, the
it's
National
not.
National Archives. Bunch of radical left people.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yes, and by
that's
the way.
Rich. I hadn't heard that part
no,
before.
I hadn't
that's
either. Wow.
By the way, that is also endangering the National Archives. I just want to throw that in there. But anything that he says negative about a specific institution or entity, you better believe that his red hats, his itchy trigger finger red hats, are looking at that entity and going, all right, what can we do about that? What can we do about the radical left Democrats in the, you know, National Archives? This is fucking dangerous what he does.
I'm
especially
not sure there's
he does
anything
that.
More neutral than the National Archives.
I
no
know.
Kidding.
I mean,
no kidding.
The Library of Congress, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the National Archives here in a second with this other clip.
When you send documents over there, I would say there's a very good chance that a lot of those documents will never be seen again. There's also...
He's accusing the National Archives.
He's just making shit up now,
yes,
you know? Like,
he's accusing the National Archives of what the National Archives is accusing him of. Mm-hmm. Because that's the level. You mentioned, I know you are, but what am I? That's yep. I know you are, but what am I? That's what he's
totally.
Saying right there, which yep. isn't a defense. Sorry.
A lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted,
no!
but they are
Jesus
around someplace? Were they looking
this
for...
This is where it's just like, okay, Grandpa, it's time to get you and you get your soft foods in you and change your diaper and put you to bed. Like,
yeah,
God
well, does that...
Hillary
but does
Clinton,
that...
again. I mean, that was 2016.
Yeah.
Which is now 6 years ago. I mean, it just...
Does that indicate yeah. that he has documents on Hillary Clinton? I mean, why would he volunteer that?
No, he's just... lashing
is
out.
This just
he's
another just shibboleth like, is this another we got to
yeah.
mention
bitter clinging yeah. clinging bitterly you know
proud clingers the bitter clinging
proud
right wing and bitter
clinger.
Clinging proud clingers yeah
there it is
yeah.
the
wait,
spy
you say you had it
oh yeah oh this is where Sean Hannity is like oh hang on
he's like wait
don't
what?
Go there what are you talking about come on hang on don't screw yourself.
Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace? Were they looking for the spying on Trump?
You had it.
No, no. They may be saying they may have thought that it was in
did.
There.
Okay.
And
okay. So they went. So his explanation is the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago because they thought that Donald Trump might have Hillary Clinton's emails.
Yeah. No.
In his desk.
And I think I hear yeah. Sean Hannity has completely dissociated at this point. The scream is dying in his throat before our very eyes. He's like, wait, you're not. Oh, okay. He's just basically sitting there going, how much longer do I have to play his monkey?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's just like, listen, I mean, play it back. You're like, you can hear the exhaustion in his voice. He's just like, how much longer do I have to keep doing this before
yeah.
they finally get him? You
he's,
know, like,
he's like, he's coaching his guy. While on live television is
yep.
basically what he's doing.
From
he's,
a place of total weariness and defeat, though.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
For the
wait, wait,
spying
you're not saying
Trump's,
you had it. Did,
no, no, they may be saying they may have thought that it was in
did.
There.
Okay.
They may be thought that I thought that they thought that I thought that Hillary thought that maybe the FBI thought that by seizing, searching and seizing Mar-a-Lago, that I would think that Hillary thought those emails were there. Is that what I'm saying?
Didn't we see the search warrant?
He sounds a little pilled up. He sounds a little slurry there.
You
know?
Think?
Like he's kind of narcotized. Like, what?
Well, the funny part is we saw the search warrant. There was no indication that they were looking for Hillary Clinton's email.
No, certainly not. But, you know, well, the audience say, watching, you know,
they
Sean
would
Hannity.
Never cop to it.
Yeah. The Sean Hannity audience doesn't realize that kind of shit. They don't. They're not details people. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Oh, I'm so, man,
no,
I'm so upset.
They're not.
A lot of people said the
they're
only thing.
They're not even visitation rights people.
All right, let's continue.
That would give the kind of severity that they showed by actually coming in and raiding with many, many people.
Many people.
Is the Hillary Clinton deal, the Russia stuff, or
impeachment hoax one, impeachment hoax two.
I mean, there are a number of things. The spying on Trump's campaign. So they spied on my campaign.
All right, now
back to the third person.
Yeah, back. They spied on Trump's campaign. Is he starting to disassociate from himself? Is that what's happening now?
Uh-huh.
Oh God. All right. Well, there's this other section where he talks about something that's already been debunked in every major publication. And every news show in the world.
I'm surprised he didn't pull out Obama's birth certificate at this point. I mean,
close.
He really is just like reaching for the hits. You
close.
Know?
He came damn close. Here's him talking about Obama's 33 million documents. Here we go.
What?
Well, you could also say 33 million documents or pages with President Obama. That's very questionable. 33 million, not 33,000. Happens to be a similar number, 33 million.
I just saw that right there. He's just like confusing himself. Because yeah, on one hand, he's thinking Hillary Clinton's alleged 33,000 emails that she acid washed or whatever it is that he says. But there's also documents that the National Archives has provided to the Obama Presidential Library, which the National Archives personally curates and oversees and handles. This has already been well adjudicated in the press. Barack Obama didn't walk away from the White House in 2017 with a tranche of 33 million top secret documents. He didn't take them and stick them in the basement of his country club and elsewhere. He asked the National Archives.
And get them all mixed up with his medical records and his toenail clippings and, you know.
Right. But what he did was, because he was establishing a presidential library, he requested the National Archives that they curate a collection of documents that would be part of the presidential library. And so that's what that was. It wasn't a document theft of any sort in any way. This is all still, nor is Barack Obama claiming ownership over those documents or that he imagineered them to be declassified.
Yeah. Fighting over them or arguing over them.
Yeah.
The problem that you have is they go into rooms. They won't let anybody near them. They wouldn't even let them in the same building. Did they drop anything into those piles or did they do it later?
Oh, planting evidence.
What is he talking about?
They're dropping so many things. There are so many things being dropped into the piles.
What cracks me up is that piles is what British people call hemorrhoids. You know that, right?
That is it. Well, and the thing is it's like, okay, so they were planted, but I sent them there, and I put notes on them, so they're mine. But I declassified
them. Before they
were
planted.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
What to believe, Donnie?
He's so confused.
There's no chain of custody here with them.
Wouldn't that be on videotape potentially?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're in a room.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so let me
so caught, and he's like, well, I don't think so. I do what you're talking about. Oh, shit. Yes. Gets better and better and better. So, I wanted to emphasize once again that two of the three 11th Circuit Court judges who ruled against Mr. Trump yesterday were appointed by Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, good luck demonizing the 11th Circuit.
Yeah.
Now, there are questions floating around. I got a brief conversation with Jen Kirkman today, who was wondering, is Donald Trump going to appeal this ruling by the 11th Circuit? And
there's a rule that he can't do it en banc. I think he has to go directly to the Supreme Court at this point, because Joyce Vance had something going on about that.
Oh, yeah. The next level up is the Supreme Court. But
right.
I think he can only appeal once they hand down their final decision. This was just a stay on the top secret documents alone.
Right.
This stayed Judge Cannon's ruling that the DOJ, that the FBI can't look at those top secret documents. Now this allows them, the 11th Circuit is now allowing the FBI and the ODNI to go through all of these documents, one with the case of the ODNI in terms of creating a damage assessment, and in terms of the FBI continuing its grand jury investigation into this espionage case, into this obstruction of justice case. So that was the stay that the 11th Circuit put on Judge Cannon's ruling yesterday. But when they finally hand down their official ruling on the entire special master matter, that's when Trump can appeal. But I think even this Supreme Court would rule against him, since he refuses to show any evidence that the documents were declassified and that he owned the documents. So there's no indication, there's no paperwork, there's no ownership. And why would there be? Other than Donald Trump saying, oh, yes, I declassified
that. The
11th
Circuit said that. They're like, he's got no, you know, ownership. Yeah. He's got no interest. There's no possible reason
for him
to have these documents.
Even if the Supreme Court said, fine, these documents are declassified, which would be a complete stretch. They'll never say that. They won't agree that Trump was allowed to take the documents. That's the key point in all of this. And that's why a Trump appeal of this will utterly fail. Now, I want to emphasize once again, and this is a bit of a downside in all of this, so get ready. We're now more than 4 weeks into this special master process. So 4 weeks after the lawsuit was filed, yeah, and they did the jurisdiction shopping and got Judge Cannon, blah, 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 blah. 4 weeks now that Donald Trump has been able to delay this official investigation. That is, I think, ultimately what he meant to accomplish here. Muddy the water, obstruct, delay. He's running out the clock, as I've been saying, to January 20th, 2025. That's what he's waiting for, in hopes that a Republican will win the presidency in 2024 and then pardon him.
I hear that, but the fact that we only lost four, I mean, to me, because it's like the 11th Circuit did not waste any time.
They did not.
No. But it's still been a month.
I know it's,
of
I
delay.
Understand, a month, yeah, of, but I mean, it could have dragged out so much longer.
Yes, but it's not the, it's been, not, this is not the only time this is going to happen. He is going to do this with every motion and every step along the way. It's going to happen with Letitia James. It's going to happen in Fulton County. It's going to happen with Alvin Bragg.
Yeah, but
Bragg,
Letitia James and Fulton County are not going to be as problematic as if we get a Republican controlled House. Here's the thing though. David Shockett, who I do my show with,
yes,
he doesn't think of Ron DeSantis or whoever could be the future horrible Republican president would pardon Donald Trump, because, you know, if you do that, he can run for president again and they don't want that.
That is true. That is also true, but there may be a lot of pressure from Donald Trump supporters. Not just,
yeah,
his,
but
not
once you're
family.
Elected, who the fuck do you care?
But I
you know?
Feel like they're a dwindling, crazy they fringe are. Of freaks
they are.
That even yeah. the Republican Party is squeaked out by.
Right, yeah. right. Well, I'd love for that to be the case. I still think that the Republican Party, irrespective of what they think about the Red Hats, they desperately want the Red Hats on their side. They need all of these fringe groups, otherwise they can't win elections. They need the fringe groups, they need the voter suppression. Without those two things, the Republican Party becomes a permanent minority party. It becomes a party that can get no more than 40% of the vote in any given election. I mean, I'm speaking in generalities, but that's the thing. If they do not continue to court those people, they're left high and dry, and they would end up looking at another possibility of a split in the party, where a bunch of people go with Trump and a bunch of people go with whoever else.
And that is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Okay, let's take one last break and come back. I want to talk about whether the pandemic is over and a lot more things here before we wrap up our big Thursday show. Back after these words.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
accent too self-absorbed to take the time to stop and smell the roses. The face she shows is the one she chose because she's always hellbent on the world only seeing her in the most heavenly poses. Camera turns away, the picture begins to fade. Oh no, can't let them see a reality she didn't manage.
Oh yeah, it's a brand new single from a kind of a new band to the show. This is a band called Local Dive. A song called Socialite. Yeah. Localdive.bandcamp.com. I love this track. You can hear the full-length track at the end of this show. Because that's how we're rolling now. At the end of the free show, we're going to play both songs that we roll out, both indie music songs, at the end of the show. All right, bobseska.com/music to submit. Thank you for doing that. Okay, moving along here. Yeah, let's talk about Joe Biden declaring the pandemic to be over. It's something that I have to say I disagree with Joe Biden about.
The emergency of it is over. It is. We are moving into an endemic, unfortunately, stage. And it's like the first generation of people that had the flu.
Yeah.
In 1918 to, say, 1928.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them died.
Yeah. Well, here's my reasoning behind this. And it's not necessarily from a is it a pandemic or endemic or whatever point of view. My thing from the very beginning of all of this with COVID is that our political leadership has a role to play as far as setting an example for the people. The people. And Donald Trump obviously failed catastrophically at that. Refusing in most cases to wear a mask, encouraging people to flaunt the rules, to flaunt the protocols, to completely ignore the protocols. This is something where if the president says something, that sets a tone, that sets an example. And then what happens is if people think, Joe Biden said there's no more pandemic. So I guess there's no pandemic. We can do whatever the fuck we want to do. Ignore wearing a mask, ignore getting vaccinated and so on. I mean, I know that he qualified it after the fact and said, yes, COVID is still a problem. We need a mask. We need to get vaccinated. But the takeaway is that loaded statement. The pandemic is over.
Dumb.
Yeah.
It was dumb. I mean, technically it is over, but nobody knows nuance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's
it also kind of determines that like funding flows. Things like that. That's what bothers me is that like we're going to get to a point where the vaccinations are no longer free and you have to have health insurance or to be able to afford it and like round and round, you know, like
round and round doing that thing down there, going all around.
I think of rat. Round down, round.
Oh, yeah, that's that too. But yeah, I mean, that's. I think that's a good point, David. Ultimately, this is not a catastrophe for Joe Biden. This is not something that we should turn into a 7-day news cycle like we did with the two Marines standing behind, or like some people did with the two Marines standing behind him during that address in Philadelphia. And so it's not something we're going to beat to death, nor does it need to be beaten to death. I just think it was a bad move to.
It was an unfortunate use of words.
Yes. Yes.
And he's right. People aren't wearing masks. I mean, because they choose not to, not because it's not good policy to wear a mask. It's because people are tired. I'm tired, but even though I literally just left the house in the last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
After 3 weeks of not leaving this house, and then I have the koala bear that is Lonnie now just clinging to me.
That is so adorable.
I know. Isn't it? It is. But I mean, I'm wearing masks outside, even though I know that most likely I won't get another round of COVID for at least a couple of months at the most.
Yeah.
And so it's not for me. It's just, you know what? I know I'm not shedding virus, but I don't want to potentially get it again and give it to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's just me. That's how my brain works. And I don't want to get it again.
When the next variant is going to come swinging through and your immunity from 3 weeks ago means nothing when you get hit by BA7.
Mm-hmm. Well, BA7 is out, I believe. I just heard that on Stephanie's show. There is a new...
BF7?
Yes, it's a BF7. And so it's an Omicron variant, but most likely the new bivariant vaccine should cover that because it's Omicron related.
That was a fun conversation here at the house the other day after I got back from getting my bivalent vaccination. Mm-hmm. Kimberly was like, oh, guess what? Just in time for this thing they're calling BF7, which is the brand new variant. And immediately I'm like, no! Thank you, Ivanka Trump, for that drama.
How's your shoulder, by the way, from your bike crash? Are you feeling better?
Yeah. It's still shitty. I'm getting an X-ray on Monday. That's gonna be fun. I'm just because it's an impingement. It's it's a pain in the ass, literally a pain in the shoulder. but yeah, I'm getting.
Have you tried any CBD ointment?
I've tried all
just
kinds of
checked.
Shit.
That shit is magic.
It takes a while. I've used it, but it takes a while. But get checked before doing anything else because you could have pulled something. And
yeah, I'm just going to get an X-ray to see where it is, and that'll open the possibility that if I really desperately need it, to get a steroid shot in there to reduce the inflammation. Mm-hmm. So that's a possibility. I mean, it sucks because I can't ride my bike. I have a difficult time in the gym. The two things I like doing in my free time, I just can't fucking do because of my shitty shoulder.
And the refrigerator, getting in and out of that. Yeah. It's difficult when your shoulder isn't working.
You have no idea. The refrigerator. Oh, my God. There are cobwebs in there. I mean, because of my shoulder. Okay. So, yeah. The pandemic isn't over, just so we're all clear on that. Let's see what else here. Oh, Ted Cruz tried to take credit for infrastructure spending that he voted against. Yeah. And I love the new White House social media coordinator really nailed
him. So good.
Yeah. He tweeted yesterday this was originally 10 days ago. Wow. Yeah, but only reacted to yesterday. 10 days ago, Ted Cruz tweeted, "The Ports to Plains Highway will run from Laredo all the way up to North Dakota and into Canada. This project will bring jobs to Texas and millions of dollars to the state. A great bipartisan victory." Uh-huh. Ted Cruz voted against it.
Yeah,
he was not one of the Republicans who supported the bipartisan infrastructure legislation, but now he's taking credit for it because he's a slippery bastard with his visible layer of slime.
His visible coating of slime. He is a human cuttlefish.
All right. And, by the way, the migrants are suing Ron DeSantis. You hate to see it. Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yep. They have filed a explosive class action lawsuit against Ron DeSantis. In his official and personal capacity, the lawsuit also targets Jared Perdue, Secretary of the Florida Department of Transportation, and several yet-to-be-identified defendants who were in direct contact with the migrants. The lawsuit alleges that DeSantis and his accomplices, quote, executed a premeditated, fraudulent, and illegal scheme centered on exploiting the migrants for the sole purpose of advancing their own personal, financial, and political interests. Political listed third there, probably not in order of priority. The lawsuit also contains...
What they did was absolutely fucking disgusting.
It is. It is absolutely disgusting on so many levels, including the fact that these people walk around claiming to be Christians. Mm-hmm. These people do not get to call themselves disciples of Christ anymore. I mean, obviously it's something they never should have been called. But they do it for votes, and that's what they've always done since 1980.
I think we should totally organize a phony music festival like the Fyre Festival and then fly them all to DeSantis' house.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of really spoiled, entitled white kids that are looking for like jet skis and cocaine, and they like end up at, you know, DeSantis' house with no food, no water, like, you know, and they're just livid and like, oh my God, I'm calling my father.
Such assholes. Unforgivably so. Yep.
It was kind of a stupid move, though, to send a bunch of people to Lawyer Island. I mean, Martha's Vineyard is full of lawyers, and they have jumped on it. I mean, mm-hmm. I actually, like, the people of Martha's Vineyard, like, we welcome them. We will help these people. We will be kind to them. I don't know what they expected. Like, the liberals were just going to, like, spit on these people or something.
They expected.
We're not you. You assholes. We don't do that shit.
And then when they actually sent them to Boston where they were expecting to go, everybody's like, see, they deported them. No, they didn't. They wanted to be in Boston. They were promised to go there. There are ICE plates. They have to report to ICE. I mean, there are things that Martha's Vineyard just cannot do for people that need to report to the federal government. They don't have those offices there. They wanted to go to Boston. They wanted to do what they were promised they were going to do. So fuck those and I'm sorry, Ron DeSantis, fuckity fuck. You said there's only onesies and twosies immigrants coming into Florida, so that's why I had to steal them from Texas. I mean, seriously.
Oh my God.
That's the insane part.
Yeah.
Is that it's like they weren't even from his state.
No.
F you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were actually like legal asylum seekers that were following the rules, that were doing what they're supposed to do. That fucking arrogant prick with his fucking floppy useless arms that he's never actually used.
Yeah, exactly right. Those floppy, useless arms. And by the way, I don't think Ron DeSantis is well known enough nationally, but once he is, once he does get to that level, get ready for all of the imitations of his teeny tiny little boy voice.
Yep.
He has a little boy, like an 11-year-old boy's voice. I know I'm saying that about Donald Trump, too. They kind of both have it. But Ron DeSantis does sound like an adolescent boy. That's what his voice sounds like.
Onesies and twosies.
Exactly. So, meantime, speaking of Florida, there's a brand new poll that dropped today, I believe. And the poll puts Val Demings within striking distance of Marco Rubio.
Woohoo!
In that Senate race.
Get
him. She trails by just 2 percentage points, so she is within the margin of error. Right now, it's 49-47, according to the latest poll from Civics, like a Civics poll that was released today. So that's good news for Val Demings. And still think it's going to be a good midterms. I'm still hopeful. Don't get happy, but, you know, it can be hopeful while not getting happy. I think that's allowed. I'm going to allow that. All right, Shadow Docket coming up next, BobSeskaShow.com. We'll see you over there, folks. Bye.
Bye. Have a good weekend.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
Shining off the moon and slide on over you, slide on over you, slide on over you. Darling, I don't know about trouble, but I think I could slide up. If I need, you just want to be seen, but I think I want to hide in the corner, pretend I don't know, and fade like a midnight dream. I just want to be like the light shining off the moon, slide on over you, slide on. Slide on over you. Now then, you don't know about me, but I think I want to know. You might think I'm free, but I'm stuck inside. Just won't let me be. I just wanna be like the light shining off the moon, slide on over to you, slide on over to you, slide on over to you, slide on over to you. Shining off the moon, slide on over to you, 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 slide on over to you.
silly drunk today.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
Seven, sent too self-absorbed to take the time to stop and smell the roses. The face she shows is the one she chose because she's always helping all the world only seeing her in the most heavenly poses. Camera turns away, the picture begins to fade. Oh no, can't let them see a reality she didn't manufacture. Never comes a day of blemishes on display. Oh no, get the stain or grass, she's gonna put that idea right back out the pasture. She weaves a tangled web. Little girls try to look like her and buy their meals at the Photoshop. And all the rich boys beg her to join them in the California King bed. The only background they care about is the one when she's bedroom hopping. Camera turns away, that picture begins to fade. Oh no, can't let them see a reality she didn't manufacture. Never comes a day of blemishes on display. Oh no, if there's green or grass, she's gotta put that idea right back out to pasture.
On display, oh no, if there's green or grass, she's gotta put that idea right back out to pasture.